This is Primetime on KTEP, a program that focuses on economic development, mobility, security, and quality of life issues in El Paso and surrounding areas.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of El Paso Primetime. I'm your host, Richard Dayub, and this young lady that we're about to talk with is one of the special guests that we've been promoting. Our city representative, our newly elected city representative for District 3, Deanna Maldonado Rocha. Welcome to the show, Deanna. Thank you so much for accepting being on the show with us.
Thank you, Richard. I'm so grateful for the opportunity. You know, I know during campaigning, we got to know each other a little bit, and this really is a fun way to get to know each other a little bit more. So
well, thank you.
I'm really looking forward to that.
And of course, the driving force behind this series that we're doing
yes.
is for our entire community
right.
to get to know you, mm-hmm. the other members of council, and our new mayor better.
Right.
Because sadly, one of the messages that the voters, whether they did it deliberately or not, mm-hmm. delivered to us, which was only 8% of us showed up at the polls mm-hmm. to vote. Yeah. So that means there's a lot of folks out there that really aren't paying close attention. We hope your interview and the interview with others will help change that mindset. So again, welcome. And so let's get started.
Sure. I'm ready.
Perhaps you tell us a little bit about yourself.
In the hot seat. So a little bit about
me. Not very hot.
So I'm born and raised in El Paso, and I've married now almost 10 years, and we have a 29-year-old that I had from a previous marriage, and then we have a 12-year-old together, and he has a 28 and 25-year-old, I think that's right. Sorry if I got that wrong.
We're calling them blended families.
Yeah, blended families, yes, and I love my family very much. We also love our animals. They're part of our family as well. We have two American bullies and a Yorkie, and she's the one that rules the household. And so a lot of experience that I got early on, you know, I've been working since I was like 15 years old, I think. I think like a lot of us were kind of at you know, this generation. And I started off at McDonald's, believe it or not, on Airway in Montana. And then I quickly rose up and went to AT&T and had a career of almost 30 years there. And that's where I learned a lot of the business background that I have. They were really giving of their time, of their money to send me to training, to learn all of the pieces that I know today that have led me to this position that we have now. So now I won City Council District 3 race. And so now I'm representing that district.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. And
sure.
By the way, thank you for including me in your generation. That was the nicest compliment I've
You're
had
welcome.
All day. So, so as you might guess, Deanna likes to enjoy herself.
I do.
And she takes herself not very seriously.
I don't.
Except when it's on serious issues.
That's correct.
So let's begin with that.
Sure.
Why did you decide? Because you don't have a political background.
I don't.
Why did you decide to run for District 3?
I think there was a lot of frustration in me. For me, it felt like the city was working almost like in a silo. You know, not being good partners with the county. And I don't know if that's by design or that's how it's supposed to be, right? Or if there's an opportunity there.
I have to plead the Fifth Amendment.
But for me, I just felt like there's an opportunity. And with the previous representative terming out, it felt like it was a really good time to jump in. And I've shared this story with several people where I feel like everything that I've been doing my whole life has actually prepared me for this moment to be in office. And you're right, I don't have a political background, but what I do have is care for the community, and I do feel like I've served the community in various capacities, and this is just another way to serve the community.
So whether it was by design or not, my observation has been that most of the people who just got recently elected to city council, mm-hmm. save one, Ms. Limon, have not served in political office before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that speaks to what I am witnessing, which is an open and mutual sharing of communications between the mm-hmm. county and the city, which in my personal view and in many others I know, is something extremely overdue and very welcome. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that you guys are pursuing that avenue. So it's good to hear that. And so other reasons why you consider running for?
So my parents raised me, my brother and I, because I do have a brother, and they raised us serving the community in a lot of capacities. Church, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, you name it, we've probably done it. And I maintained that same level of service throughout my whole career. So for me, being able to be an extension of the community that I live in, I think really motivated me to run and to really put my full force into it. And it was a really difficult road. Campaigning is not easy.
It's not for the faint of heart.
No. It is probably one of the top three hardest things I've ever done in my life. And it's because it's so short and you think it's long, but it's really not. It's very short and you have to fit and cram so much into all that time.
Yeah, so how many pairs of shoes did you wear out doing block walking?
Well, I learned which pairs of shoes not to wear when I was block walking.
And they had heels.
No, they were just like regular boots that I said, okay, these are all weather because it was cold, right? We were block walking in the end of fall and the beginning of, you know, kind of winterish weather. And it was cold and it was windy and it was harsh. And it was a life lesson. And so I hope that I've learned from that to be able to get better, whatever comes for me next, you know, in the future.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, of course, we're doing this show recorded. Our audience
sure.
knows it's recorded.
Mm-hmm.
By the time it airs, it will be March.
Right.
But we're at the very end of January.
Correct.
And so the question is very timely.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1 month, barely mm-hmm. 1 month, you've been in office. Share with our audience a little, not quite even really.
It's not even a month.
Yeah, it'll be next week. It'll be
yeah, next week.
Kind of talk to our audience a little bit about what, especially as a new member of council,
mm-hmm.
and you also have a new city manager.
Yes.
And new deputy city managers, what this has been like for you. It's like speed reading, isn't it?
It's like speed dating. I don't know if it's speed reading. It's like speed dating, and you go from one department to the other trying to get briefings as much as you can. And I think my approach has been to try to meet with everybody at least once before the end of the month. And a lot of people told me that's a really big goal. You know, give yourself some space. And my goal is really to learn as much as I can. And I'm a lifelong learner. And this is just a different way of learning. I know very little. I'm not the expert in policy or being able to make that change. But one thing that I've committed to is to listen. And I think that's what I give everybody is that opportunity to say their piece. And I tell everyone the same thing. We may not always agree. Somebody told me last night at a community meeting, they go, oh, until something contentious comes up in city council. Well, true, but we can still be friends and just agree to disagree. And really, I think we need to get better at that. And just because we don't agree doesn't mean that we can't move past that. And so there's been this first three and a half weeks that I've been there, it's been a lot of meetings. Oh, my gosh, so many meetings. And I really have been honestly trying to get to every single person. And I still call constituents and I return emails and I return social media comments. And so it's not just the meeting part of it. It's everything while trying to coordinate a staff that
a brand new staff
that we can work together and understand, okay, this is what's really important to me. And can we pivot? So it's really trying to learn each other and how we work well with each other. Once we get there, I think we're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
What are some of your first impressions working with city staff and, importantly, your colleagues on the dais?
So I'll tell you, you know, everybody at City Hall has been tremendously welcoming and really, really nice. They're very informative. They've been able to guide you. There's so many people that you can really reach out to and just have that communication with to be able to kind of steer you in the right direction. And I may not know it all right now, right? 3.5 weeks in, but I feel like it's gonna be really successful. At least that's what I feel. Because I am a person of communication, and I feel like if we communicate with each other, then we know where each other stands. There may be situations where it may not be a favorable conversation, but even when it's not favorable, doesn't mean that we can't still communicate with each other.
It doesn't have to be contentious.
It doesn't have to be contentious. That's right. And that's the goal, right, is to understand that we're all in this for the same – well, I hope everybody's in it for the same reason, which is to serve the community that we live in. I feel like I'm an extension of all of the thousands of constituents that live in District 3. I'm their voice on that dais every single time. And I don't take it lightly. And I feel like because I have that open communication with the constituents right now, early on, I hope that they understand that I truly mean it when I say I am here to serve you, that is really what I'm looking out for.
For what it's worth, in my capacity, in my private life capacity, mm-hmm. besides the radio show, I've been fortunate to have the opportunity to interact with mm-hmm. virtually every member of City Council
right.
and the mayor. Mm-hmm. And I think I can echo what you just said, the attitude among all of them is pretty much the same.
I agree.
I want to make my community a better place to live. Mm-hmm. I want to leave it in a better condition mm-hmm. than I inherited it.
Yes.
And I think that's a great starting point for everybody.
I really do, because one thing that's important is that, you know, we sit here and we say, okay, well, we're going to make it better. And really, we're making it better at a certain level right now for you and I and our families to live in. But really what we're making it better for is for that future generation that's coming up. And so I've been thinking about this a lot, about the meetings that I've been having, and I share this, so forgive me for those that have heard it already. I sit and I say, you know, we have fifth graders today that in 8 years will be a voting age. And you sit there and you put that into perspective of how quick this time of my 4 years comes up. They're going to be ninth graders, and something we may do is going to affect them when they're the ones that are owning homes, hopefully, and they're the ones that are out in the workforce here in El Paso, I hope. But that's who we're doing this for, right? It's all of us. It's every single one of us, including those that are still in elementary that will be a voting age in just a few short years.
That's a very interesting perspective I've not heard before, but you're absolutely correct. We don't seem to think that far out.
We don't.
But as we all know, time passes far too quickly for any of us, and the kids are no different.
Oh, yeah.
And suddenly they're adults and they have minds of their own, and we want to encourage them to continue the efforts mm-hmm. that you guys on council now
right.
and the rest of us in the community are trying to accomplish. So what are some of your top priorities for the next several months? I don't want you to go projecting all the way out through a four-year term.
No.
Because things will change on a daily, monthly basis.
On a dime, actually.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I was at a community meeting last night and several things that popped up there. It was like, you know, transportation, advanced manufacturing, trying to bring the economic development to El Paso, property taxes. That's always a big sticking point for all of us, right? All of us that own homes, it affects all of us. That includes me. And but one thing that I'm finding that we need more of is affordable housing kind of spread out through these communities that we live in. And, you know, when I was on the campaign trail and knocking on doors, and I was actually working at Gary Del Palacio poll working, and several people came up to me and they're like, are you going to be opening up a senior citizen center for us? And I said, what do you mean a senior citizen center? And they're like, well, you know, a place for that we can go and live. Like, it's getting too expensive for us to live in our own homes. And so it's really sad because of property taxes is what they shared, right? And so, you know, there's people out there in the community that are already asking me particularly, so who knows how far and wide that goes. But they're already talking about needing someplace that's affordable to live. And so we need good plans. And that's really important to me. And the other thing that's important, so I have so many important items. I went and did a tour of the Medical Center of Americas yesterday. And I'm so impressed with that place. But one of the important pieces outside of that is that they also built the VA center that's located right behind them off of Gateway East.
Yeah.
And so it's I got right a tour
behind,
of that.
Right behind the Cardwell
yeah.
Center.
Yeah, that's exactly it, because that's where the MCA is, right, at the Cardwell Center. And so I got a tour of the building, got a tour of the VA, and I see the need for homeless. We really need to work to help our homeless community. And what the VA is doing out there to help the homeless community is amazing. And so there's a lot of opportunities that we have now that we just need to get the word out and maybe educate. And I think that when you sum it all up and you say, well, Deanna, what are the items that are important to you? Really, it's education. Because I hope you learned something about what the airport does differently than what you've known in the past. Like I heard so many other people that shared that yesterday as well. I think that when we educate people, when it comes to property taxes, when it comes to property valuation, when it comes to economic development, a conversation goes a long way. And one thing that I'm working on right now is a financial literacy type of program to provide no cost, right? So I'm working with a teacher in particular. I can't mention his name right now because he hasn't committed, but I hope he's listening. And I hope that through him, we can provide some financial literacy to individuals, and this includes children, adults, you know, everybody in between, because that is so important to be able to have a budget to live on. You know, we have so many items that are being thrown our way right now, and a lot of people are upset, but I feel like we just need a conversation to sit down and talk about what it is that they want, and let's find solutions to be able to get as close as we can to it.
I don't know if they're all still doing it, but I know for several years, a number of the banking institutions in the community and credit union institutions do provide free financial literacy programs. You might be able to partner with them.
That's a great idea, actually. It's a great idea because a part of what we need to do is if we're responsible for the community that we serve, I think that's a really big ask, but we need to start chipping away. And how can we do that is by kind of showing you, hey, this is how you can live within your means. And sometimes that's not enough, but hopefully it gives a little bit of grace to have that knowledge to help you along the way.
Agreed. And so you kind of touched on this. The next question I have as a follow-up is, what challenges are you, and by extension, the other members of City Council, facing this early? I mean, I know you'll see more challenges coming before you, but what are you seeing on the immediate horizon that you all have to be addressing?
So right now, immigration's huge. I don't know. We don't have any information to share, or I'd be happy to share that. Points of contention right now is the water bill. That's huge. We have to address it. I get calls to my office, not regularly, but I have been getting calls. And people were very upset at my last community meeting before the one last night about it. And now the proposed El Paso Electric rate increase. So obviously, to me, what the challenges are is finance.
Seems to all come back to dollars and cents.
It all comes back to dollars. It all comes back to affordability.
Yeah, and I would offer this.
Sure.
Just because this is a recorded show, so nobody can pick on me live.
It's not a call-in?
But at the same time, no, we elected not to have a call-in. One of the thoughts that I have, and this comes, it's a recurring thought with everyone that I know within the community, as well as those at City Council, which is many of the people, justifiably, are complaining about higher utility rates, higher property taxes, cost of living in general, cost of groceries, right?
Right.
We all have to deal with that. Mm-hmm. At the same time, almost everyone is also asking for more amenities.
Yes.
We want you to bring us this. We want you to bring us that. And there doesn't seem to be enough of a thought process to connect those dots to say, well, just a moment. If we want all these extra things we don't yet have or don't have in sufficient supply, that's going to cost more money. And how are we going to pay for it?
I think that goes to that education piece of it, or having that conversation. And really, it's that simple, right? Like, okay, let's put it in a book and say, okay, if we want to do this amenity, if we want to do this amenity, it's going to cost X thousands of dollars, and that's going to result in this increase in your taxes, right? And part of what we hear from the private sector is that in order to bring business here, they need more amenities. But then people here are saying, we want more amenities, but we don't want to pay for more amenities. So how do you do it?
It's a
slight balance.
We want somebody else to pay for it, right?
Yeah.
And so part of that equation, by the way, is as you recruit more companies to the community,
right?
High-paying jobs,
correct?
Long-term, then those people who are now becoming a part of our community,
right?
And are being paid not just a living wage, but being well compensated.
Correct.
Are then able to buy homes.
Yes.
Contribute to the property tax base, and therefore enable us to provide many of those required more amenities that we all want and need, without having necessarily to raise taxes to a certain level. Which brings me to one, and this is a question I'll be bringing into Dion. As well, the city manager. We talk about it every month when we meet. And I'm sure I'll be talking about it with the mayor and other members of council, which is, you know, the one thing that you heard, that all of you heard as you ran for office and knocked on doors, the consistent message was, what are you going to do about my streets?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And so there is a plan being developed, I am told.
That's what I hear.
And the plan is designed, or will be designed, in a fashion that it'll be equitable to all, at least that's the plan, so that there is a steady stream of revenues to meet the demand that we have, because we're so far behind in improving, repairing our streets, rather than just filling potholes.
Filling potholes is just a Band-Aid.
Exactly.
And the Band-Aid loses the stickiness and it falls off. And that's what potholes kind of doing, you know, filling the potholes does. So I had a meeting with Streets and Maintenance just the other day. And what I found out, you know, the road degradation, right, is measured off of, is it the PSI, I believe is the name of it? Forgive me if I don't know it. But in District 3, it's the worst in all of the city. And that's crazy. You know, there's a lot of because we all have issues in the neighborhoods that we live in. And so we need to find that dedicated funding. My concern, which has also come up, is now, you know, the federal government has now put a pause on grants. And there's a lot of money that comes from grants and results to every city, to every organization, to every food bank in the nation. And so, you know, it puts a lot of stress on, now what are we going to do? So you talk about having all these challenges, and now you have the administration saying, okay, we're going to put a pause on this. Well, there's opportunity right through the state grants, but how much opportunity is there? And so it definitely is going to take some creative thinking to figure out how we can get all of this done.
In the education community, the term that always comes to mind,
can't wait,
is unfunded mandates.
Yes.
Unfunded mandates.
Unfunded
we
mandates.
We need you to
That's
do
it.
This.
Yes.
For example, today, and I'm not trying to pontificate, although it may sound that way, every school is required to have security.
Right.
At the same time that funding streams for the schools from the state have not gone up.
Right.
And so they're having to scramble to find funds, perhaps at the expense of other programs. So enough on that subject. So
it did sound like pontificating
a little bit. That's okay. I do that very – ask my family. I do
that's
that very well.
That's your secret power?
That's my secret power. The power is, as I pontificate, they leave the room.
Got it.
So how can your constituents be of help in your efforts? What What thoughts would you share with them? Mm-hmm. How can they make a difference?
So I shared this a little bit, and you may have heard it at last night's meeting. One of the things that we have is that, you know, we always talk about El Paso, and I hear a lot of adults that always say, oh my gosh, El Paso's terrible. El Paso's, you know, it's not a great place to live, and there's no jobs here. And that's what we hear. And what we need to do a better job of is to remember that those little ears are hearing us. And they're hearing what we say. And I'm a true believer, and I shared this with you earlier, and here's a shameless plug, but I'm a huge mindfulness person. I'm very much into right mindset, positive mindset. It makes a difference in your life when you start to think that way. And words matter. So when we choose our words to be positive, and we continue to do that over and over, before you know it, you're resonating that positivity down to those little ears that are listening to you.
And you're affirming it.
That's yes, right. Absolutely.
So one last thought before we have to wrap
up
the show. Just to share with our audience, because when I was in your office, and I've been doing this forever, I was blown away by the size of your district.
Oh, yeah.
If you wouldn't mind just giving a brief sort of a mental picture.
I know, right? Redistricting kind of took us. So it goes from Howes and Timberwolf.
That's H-O-W-Z-E.
H-O-W-Z-E.
Over by Reynolds.
Over by Reynolds, right? It goes from that area all the way across down to Montana. Down to Montana, and you follow Montana, so all of the airport. There's a sliver, really, off of 601, like in the northeast, off of Fred Wilson, which includes animal services. So it includes all of the airport district, and it follows Montana all the way to George Deeter. And George Deeter, it almost curves at Pebble Hills, and it comes down. It has a strange curve around the neighborhood, but essentially it also includes the Sierra Vista area. It includes Pico Norte, it includes Eastwood, and I know I'm going to forget all of them, so forgive me. Montclair, it includes all the Scottsdale area, and then it goes down to Bel Air, so it picks right back up off of McRae and Airway, that area. But this district includes Bassett, it includes Sierra Vista, it includes the Fountains, in addition to all of that. It includes a small portion of Marathon, and it goes all the way down to the border in Cedar Grove, Hidden Valley, Rosedale Farms, Rosedale, Cedar Grove.
That's a lot of walking to do.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, it was a lot of walking.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
You got it.
And thank you for being on the show. For
Absolutely.
Those of you who may have tuned in a few minutes late, we are doing an interview with recently elected City Representative for District 3, Deanna Maldonado Rocha. And she has been very forthcoming in sharing what she sees as the potential future for our community and how we can get there. I want to thank you again for being on the show, Deanna.
Thank you,
You've
Richard.
Been a great guest to have on. I can't remember the last time I smiled as much during an interview. It's contagious.
It is,
so that
I tell you.
You talked about.
It is contagious.
So thank you for being here.
You got it. Thank you for the invite.
Yes, ma'am. And ladies and gentlemen, as you're accustomed with me, I remind you each show, this is KTEP, your NPR station for the Southwest. We are a nonprofit, and if you would join our organization by making a small contribution, we would be greatly appreciative. Or perhaps you're already a member, thank you if you are. If you're not, you can go to our website at ktep.org and click on the donate button and either make a one-time contribution or, as I am, become a sustaining member and have that little bit amount that you can afford to do withdrawn from your bank account or charged to your credit card each and every month. We thank you for listening to us on this Saturday afternoon, and we wish you a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
El Paso Primetime is a production of KTEP. Views expressed by the host and guest don't necessarily reflect those of KTEP. For inquiries about our public affairs programming, email ktep@utep.edu. Richard Dayoub appears courtesy of Thunderbird Consulting. The producer and editor is Daisy Morales. The show is recorded at the Communication Department at the University of Texas at El Paso. To learn more about the program or to listen to past episodes, visit ktep.org.